Hello and welcome to the Middle Chamber Books Podcast. This is episode 9 for Monday, April 14th, 2008, brought to you by GoToMyPC. I'm your host, Steve Lubetkin. In this episode of the podcast, a conversation with AJ Jain, an Indian journalist who's just written a new book about LinkedIn, one of the hottest networking sites for professional social networking on the web at linkedin.com. The book is called Let's Connect, Using LinkedIn to Get Ahead at Work. We'll get to our conversation with AJ in just a moment. Welcome to the Middle Chamber Books Podcast. I'm Steve Lubetkin, the bookseller at Middle Chamber Books, and your host for these podcasts about books, authors, and other creative artists. You can visit our bookstore at middlechamberbooks.com. We'll get to our interview with AJ Jain right after this message from our sponsor. You know, all of your critical information is probably on your office PC, and of course, when you want to work from home or while you're traveling, you have to copy files to disk, you have to email documents to yourself, or you have to synchronize your laptop, and that can be pretty much of a hassle. The solution is the good news that comes with GoToMyPC. It's the easiest way you can access anything on your PC from anywhere. All you have to have is internet access, and the setup just takes minutes. You log on with a secure username and password at gotomypc.com. And you not only see, but you can control your computer from anywhere. If you use GoToMyPC, you'll discover the power and freedom of web-based remote access. And because you're listening to this podcast, you can try it free right now for 30 days with unlimited access during that period. If you want to take advantage of this special offer, and we hope you do because they're supporting the podcast, so it would be nice to support them back. Just go to gotomypc.com/podcast. Once again, that address is gotomypc.com/podcast, and you can try GoToMyPC today and use it for 30 days. And now on to our program. AJ Jain is a freelance journalist who works globally from his home base in New Delhi, India. He blogs at ajjain.com, that's ajayjain.com. And he also writes for a number of publications, both print and online. He studied journalism at Cardiff University in the United Kingdom. He also has engineering degrees and some other credentials, and he writes about technology and sports and a bunch of other things. Let's Connect, Using LinkedIn to Get Ahead at Work, is AJ's first book, and this is also his first interview of any kind. He told us it's the first time he's done a podcast interview, and it's actually the first interview for the book because he just started doing the promotional efforts for the publication. We talked with AJ from his home base in New Delhi using Skype, and let's get right to that interview. AJ, welcome to the Middle Chamber Books Podcast.
Thank you.
AJ, first, why don't we start a little bit with how you got involved using LinkedIn and what made you think that it would be a good opportunity to write a book about helping other people use LinkedIn?
I actually had, like many people, I had a dormant LinkedIn account for a long time. And then sometime in the middle of last year, I just started using it more frequently than ever before. And I'm a journalist myself, and I write on technology. So I started writing a few pieces on technology. On LinkedIn, I started researching into how LinkedIn can be used in many different ways because a lot of people would say, okay, it's good for networking, but where do you go from there? So I wrote a white paper on 10 ways you can use LinkedIn to get ahead at work. And I wrote a few pieces for some national newspapers and magazines in India. And then I said, hey, I've done the basic research. It might make good material for a book. So I started writing a book. One thing just led to another.
So what are some of the things you found unusual ways or different ways that people are using LinkedIn besides just networking with each other?
Well, I've actually divided my book and my some of my editorial pieces into 10 different categories. And one is just taking the networking forward is you have a bigger Rolodex, which is also kind of an ever-expanding one. The LinkedIn Answers is a very good feature because that's where you create a global focus group. And that, I think, is the most powerful feature of this website because you can tap onto the inherent wisdom of the whole LinkedIn community and not just your network. That follows only if you have a good network, because if you don't have a good network, you're not on the site regularly, you will not get the responses you're looking for. And another very, very strong feature which I found, which people don't realize, is to create a personal brand about yourself. And then there are the other features like hiring people or finding a job, which seem the more obvious ones. So I think creating that personal brand through LinkedIn is, I think, its most powerful feature. And everything kind of, whatever else you do, all adds to this.
How many people do you estimate are using LinkedIn in India? Do you have any idea?
I don't have numbers, but I've been told by LinkedIn that it's the biggest market for LinkedIn in the whole Asia-Pacific region. In the last few months, I'm seeing a kind of a tipping point situation where a lot more people are coming online onto LinkedIn because a lot of my invites which went out, say, over the last 7-8 months, people are suddenly accepting more and more. Many more people are inviting me also. And suddenly people are talking about LinkedIn. They're using LinkedIn. We've been having some face-to-face meetings in India, and suddenly there's a huge interest. Till the middle of last year, I would say, there was another professional networking site called Ryze, R-Y-Z-E. That was quite popular in India, but that seems to have kind of lost flavor in town. But LinkedIn is suddenly like picking up. I don't have the numbers because LinkedIn has not disclosed those numbers yet.
Right. You talked earlier about using LinkedIn to build your personal brand. What did you have in mind when you say that? How do people build a brand on LinkedIn?
Well, it's just being there, being a part of that community, being a part of the Q&As, interacting with the community is how you make people aware of who you are, what you do, which they might not get to know otherwise. You might have a blog somewhere, but a blog is only as good as the number of people visiting there. But when you are on LinkedIn, you can actually, because the people are already there, it's just you kind of alerting them to yourself. And then they see your profile and they see what you do. When you interact with them on Q&A, they realize how knowledgeable you are, how intelligent you are. And then you can lead them to your blogs, to your websites, to what you do. And you start creating a personality about yourself within this community. And you never know when what door will open and who's watching you when. And that's where I think that personal branding thing comes very, very handy.
Now, one of the things that a lot of people have questioned about LinkedIn in presentations that I've seen is whether people actually are able to make connections that lead to business relationships on LinkedIn. What's your experience been with that?
I think, again, I've mentioned in my book that don't look for benefits the moment you hit the ground running. Those things just follow. First, you have to create something about yourself. People have to get to know you. They have to get comfortable with you, and then opportunities come your way. Yes, there are certain direct benefits, immediate benefits like finding a job or finding a reference to a vendor, or you're looking for some service provider, or you're looking for a lead somewhere. Those are some benefits that you can seek immediately. You may or may not get those. But I think you have to work on your network. You have to work on LinkedIn. You have to be a regular. I'm not saying you spend 2 hours every day, but you just kind of just be seen around LinkedIn, and then things will happen. But if you just say that, okay, I'm on LinkedIn today, and within 1 week I'm going to get the dream job of my life, or I'm going to get that contract. No, it will not happen.
What's been your experience personally? Have you connected with people where it's led to work or assignments or anything?
Well, as a writer, I think it's proved very, very beneficial to me because a lot of my pieces, which have been well received in other national newspapers and magazines and websites, have been a result of my research after interacting with LinkedIn members. They've given me perspectives which otherwise would not have come my way. And now even my book, it's selling primarily because of what I've gained through LinkedIn. And I'm actually putting to test the very ideas I've proposed in this book. And I'm promoting this book through LinkedIn. And you and I are talking because we met each other on LinkedIn.
Exactly right, through the questions section.
Yeah,
LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You talk in the book about dressing your profile for the occasion. What do you mean by that? And are we talking about, you know, dressing for success? Are we talking about making it look very professional? Or is there some level of more casual opportunity allowed?
I think in one sense, it's like you're going to meet somebody or you're going to a business conference. It's how you dress yourself there. It's something and how you present yourself, the visiting card or the business card you present over there and what you start talking about immediately. It's something similar here. You may have done a lot of things in life. you may have different things you could wear to a possible meeting, but you know that you're going to a certain place and you have a certain objective. So you'll decide, okay, I'm going to dress like this, and I'm going to present this business card, and I'm going to present this face of mine, and I'm going to start talking like this. And that will lead to the opportunities that you are seeking immediately. You may have done five different things, and you may have been a banker at one stage of your life, and you may be maybe a writer today. But do you want to meet prospective publishers? You want to meet? You want to push your writing career? So you put you present the writing face of yours more prominently than the rest of you. So that's and that's the way your profile can also. You have to work around your profile. You talk about you highlight those points in your profile, which will help you get what you're trying to achieve in your professional life.
It's a lot like the advice that hiring consultants give people about tailoring their resumes for the specific job they're seeking.
Exactly. Something like that. But LinkedIn gives you an opportunity to make it more dynamic, more well-rounded, and people can actually go under different headers, because a resume might still be a more static document, and you would like to, you might have just maybe just one page or one and a half page to really make the impression, where because a person might not flip through four or five pages. But your LinkedIn profile is more dynamic, and you can actually put all kinds of hyperlinks and all. So a person can follow those links for information, for the kind of information he's specifically looking for. Like, you can't carry your blog in your CV, but you can carry the link to your blog in your LinkedIn profile, which makes it a much more effective resume than just the one you would present to a recruiter.
How important on LinkedIn are the recommendations from people that you've worked with? Many people collect recommendations from either former employers or from former colleagues and things like that, which appear on their blogs or on their LinkedIn profiles. How important do you think those recommendations are?
I think, again, like in the offline world, they give you a certain perspective, and they can be used as the first round of check or first round of looking up a person. But you naturally need to follow this through and make sure that that recommendation is well-deserved. It comes from a credible source, like you would in the offline world also. But it gives you a good starting point, a good reference point to start with. And the other thing that I would really emphasize here is, when somebody asks you for a reference for themselves, don't give it unless you have actually worked with the person and you are in a position to give a genuine recommendation. Because I get a lot of requests for recommendations from people I have never worked with. So I actually politely decline and say, hey, look, if I do that, I'm going to devalue my own word. And it's real people interacting here, not fictitious avatars of each other. So I would say that recommendations are important as a first check, but you need to do your due diligence like you would anywhere else.
And that goes to the next question, which is there are some people who argue that when you are accepting or rejecting requests to link in with people on LinkedIn, that you should think about only accepting them from people you actually know. One person I know actually does not accept a LinkedIn invitation until he's sat down for coffee with the person.
Well, it's all an individual perspective and what you want your network for. I, as a writer, as a journalist, honestly speaking, I accept all invites for no other reason, because for me it's reaching out to a larger audience. But there are people who might want a very, very restricted network. They might just want 20 people, 30 people, because that's how they want to interact with them. And that's also perfectly fine. It's all your individual perspective. Now, say if you are, it depends on the business you are in. So if you want a larger network or you want a smaller network, I've covered that in my book also, that you have to strike a balance between quality and quantity. And it's all who caters to your individual interests, what kind of a network. And one person gave an interesting perspective on this. They said that you have to make a kind of a mental subdivision between your network. That, okay, these are the crucial 20 ones for me, but these are, okay, another 100 that I have who are going to be valuable to me, if not today, but tomorrow.
You talk in the book also about using LinkedIn to find vendors and service providers. What are some of the things people need to think about when they're starting to use LinkedIn in that way?
Well, in a global world, we're always looking for certain services which we might not find a vendor very easily despite the internet, because there are going to be so many people who might not have advertised themselves on the internet, or they might not be very searchable. But again, through the LinkedIn community, you can actually get references to people who might be positioned to help you, and who you might not have found otherwise. You have on the one hand, you have huge business networks, like you have Alibaba.com in China, where they've listed all kinds of possible vendors for trade purposes. But even there, or in the US or India, there are so many service providers who we just don't get to know otherwise. So I think, say the services you are into, I might not find you very easily. But if somebody on LinkedIn refers me to you, and I take on your services, that's how LinkedIn can come in handy.
One of the other things people use it for is for conducting background checks. And you talk about some of the legal and ethical issues of background checking during in a LinkedIn search. What are some of the things people need to think about there?
Again, running background checks is never an easy thing to do, because we need to do that all the time when we are recruiting people or when we are looking for partners to work with. And over here too, how much you probe openly, how much you don't probe openly is something you have to keep in mind, because if you tell a person that I'm going to be running a background check, in some societies, in some business environments, that's the thing to do. Whereas in certain societies and certain business environments, you don't even care about that. You just go and do your own due diligence, and you might and the person you're checking out on might not even know. But people have to be alert to the fact that that their public profile is going to be scrutinized very closely by people who are interested in associating with them professionally. So the one issue that people need to be very careful about is when they're running background checks is not to create fictitious identities about themselves, because that's going to then you can say devalue the value of the network. Like for example, I think one of the things I mentioned here or in another note I'd written on background checks, that if you want to check on somebody who's been to Harvard, but you haven't been to Harvard, so how do you access his network on Harvard? So you create a fictitious identity about yourself, and you say, I'm from Harvard, from the same class as the guy you are investigating on. But that's, I think, an unethical thing to do.
And it's probably not in the interests of individuals using LinkedIn to create fictitious identities, because that would certainly get discovered in a background check.
Yeah, the one thing, again, I've emphasized again and again in the book, unlike many other networking sites, this LinkedIn is about real people doing real interactions, which lead to real world associations. And we must never forget that, because I'm not saying anything negative about Facebook or MySpace or any of those other networking sites, but you could be creating it because people are having fun over there. So it doesn't matter so much whether you are a real person or not. And okay, you've had your fun and you've posted things on the fun wall and all that is fine. But LinkedIn is different. It's like you're going to a business conference and people give you a card with a different name. It's something similar here too. You have to be very, very true, because you'll get discovered. Because the one thing I love about LinkedIn is how the dots connect about you. So if you're saying you're from Harvard and you're actually not from Harvard, and the moment somebody follows the trail, it'll get discovered. So you won't last very long on LinkedIn anyway.
You also give readers of your book some advice on online etiquette in LinkedIn. What are some tips you might give people?
Well, one of the things is I think the corollary to that would be use whatever offline courtesies you use in the real world. I think do the same here. If somebody does something for you, a thank you is the least you can that you can do for them. And likewise, if somebody's answered your question, please acknowledge it and say thank you for making the effort to answer my question. You must rate all the questions, because people have answered those questions, and people who deserve a good rating or a best rating, that should be done. And so it's all about whatever you would do in the real world, I think you should do here also.
You also mentioned earlier some of the other social networks that people engage in, and there's a reasonably robust debate going on between people who are fans of LinkedIn and people who are fans of MySpace or Facebook and Rise and some of the others. Where do you think that's going to shake out? Do you think people will congregate on one network versus another, or will they just have multiple destinations?
I think that's a debate we are going to have going on for a long time, and I don't think there's really going to be a shakeout. You might end up with a few powerful networks, but I think the smaller ones will have a little difficulty surviving unless they're very, very niche or specialized networks. Say it could be just general practitioners in the medical professions in, say, the New York area. They might form a network. But I think these bigger networks already allow, and they will allow opportunities to create your own groups anyway. So I think the smaller ones will anyway have a problem. But I think for a long time to come, we'll see some big networks being there and competing with each other.
Any other thoughts on future developments for LinkedIn? You've talked to the folks who run the site a little bit. Any predictions for how they might change it in the future?
I'm not sure how they'll change, because that's they don't talk about very openly. But I think the one thing that's going to evolve on LinkedIn is one of the most powerful things that's going to emerge from there is kind of an open source consulting environment that might come out of LinkedIn, where as the networks mature and as more and more people use this, you might have the same expertise that you would go to a McKinsey and Company for being available here at a much lower cost, and people are just freely finding each other. And that's where all the other things that we spoke about, your personal brand, your how you recommend to each other, being seen on LinkedIn, that's where the benefits of all of those things are going to kick in. And so people who invest their time and effort on LinkedIn today are going to benefit, because eventually it's going to be the place where you actually meet people for consulting, for business opportunities, for networking, much more than what's happening right now.
And the book is available as an online download. It's also available in Amazon.com. Is that right?
Amazon.com is available. There's, I think, some technical problem. I don't know why they've not been receiving my stocks, but I think that should be sorted out in the next few days. But yes, you can still place orders, and they're showing stocks not available. But yes, you can come to my blog and place orders directly, and we're shipping globally.
And we'll be putting the links up on the Middle Chamber Books website to go with the podcast. So the book is Let's Connect Using LinkedIn to Get Ahead at Work. Our guest is AJ Jain, and AJ, we really thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the Middle Chamber Books podcast. Remember, we've gone weekly, so look for the next episode of our podcast program on Monday of next week. If you like the program, tell your friends, or better yet, send them a link to the program so they can enjoy it too. And also, please remember to patronize our sponsor, Go to My PC. The special 30-day offer is gotomypc.com/podcast. If you have comments or suggestions about these programs, send them to me. The address is steve@middlechamberbooks.com. You can also send us audio comments, attach an MP3 file, and we might use it in a future podcast. Or you can call our podcast comment line in the U.S. It's +1-856-861-6146. If you're calling from Europe, the UK number is +44-020-7193-6146. Our theme music for the Middle Chamber Books podcast is Cook the Books. It comes from the Indianapolis Jazz Orchestra, one of the PodSafe music selections available at garageband.com. We produce our programs in the studios of Professional Podcasts in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, on the web at professionalpodcasts.com. This is Steve Lubetkin. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.